We've been living for a few weeks in the in-between times. In between the half seasons of television shows, I mean. Since the beginning of December, many series have taken a hiatus, and this next week, the dramas and comedies return in full force. Not least, Downton Abbey Season 3 begins tonight at 9 p.m. Our recording devices will return to their usual almost full-to-capacity status, and our ache to find out whether the hero will awake from his coma will hopefully be sated. We are desperate to discover whether the heroine will ever find true love, and we despair along with the couple who seeks to adopt but continues to be overtaken by heartbreaking loopholes. Of course, this could be more than just a television show. We may be facing these sorts of hopes and tensions in our real lives, too. These stories, great and small, deep and vapid, true and fictional, speak to our need for a narrative of a love so extraordinary as to change everything that it touches. This is perhaps some of what the wise men sought, as recounted in our gospel passage today. Matthew tells us they packed up their camels and trekked across a continent to meet this new baby king. These wealthy, busy men didn't send a messenger or even have Babies R Us just ship a gift to Jesus. These studiers of the heavens had seen something big, this light in the sky. And whatever it was that had caused that light just had to be seen in person. They were desperate to understand and to be near the event that had made even the predictable skies as look new. They rushed to Jerusalem to congratulate Herod on this great event that had taken place in his own backyard. They were eager to get directions from him on where exactly to find this child of promise. Imagine these impressive, imposing men on your front porch, knocking on your door. They're wild-eyed and overcome. They're bursting with joy from the adventure they've undertaken. Herod opens his door in his bathrobe, having been roused from his couch watching reruns on TV, and he stares at these men blankly. What are you doing here? What do you want? They practically bulldoze him, rushing through the rooms of the house, tearing down hallways, spouting their research and the prophecy that they'd found, as they hunt desperately for the person they desire. It quickly becomes clear that Herod hadn't been paying attention to the skies and to the signs around him. He pulls his bathrobe around himself a little tighter, and a cloud forms over his eyebrows. He narrows his eyes in thought. "It's not bad enough that I'm living in the Roman boondocks," he says to himself. "Now there's a rival that everybody seems to know about, except me." As soon as the wise men stumble off toward Bethlehem, he returns to the couch to brood and cook up a scheme to unseat this new king. The wise men for themselves troop down the Jerusalem hill out into the countryside. They're on edge. They know they must be close to the place where the world has been changed, the place that the light has been leading them on this long expedition. They arrive in Bethlehem on the main street, but the light keeps eluding them. They duck behind buildings and stretch high on their camels to keep track of this beacon. As they get closer and closer to the light, they start to realize they've been led to a shady part of town. There's the coughing of illness, the stench of poor plumbing, and probably a few ladies of the night in some doorways. The tension is incredible. Where are they going to end up? What's going on that the light is leading them to this kind of place? Suddenly, almost imperceptibly, the light halts. They were perhaps confused, but as St. Matthew puts it, they were absolutely overwhelmed with joy. They stood on another front porch, much less grand than the last one, still seeking a king. I imagine this greeting was very different than the last one, different from the grumpy ruler they'd left in the big city. Mary and Joseph were still in the sleep-deprived throes of early parenthood. And to make matters more stressful, they'd both started to have dreams. And it was becoming clear that their reality, this life they'd envisioned for themselves of a quiet family in Nazareth, was not going to be how things played out. Now, foreigners had shown up on their doorstep, and they begged to see their newborn. Can you imagine the scene? Joseph and Mary, bleary-eyed but trying to be hospitable, the travelers, dusty and exhausted, but rapturous to finally be in the same room as this child of promise. Each of them had been stretched to their absolute limit, emotionally wasted and physically spent. The light had led each person in that room to that place, to the very brink of survival. And it was there that they found Jesus. Are you there this morning? Perhaps the holidays were especially hard this year. So much has changed in the last 12 months. And 2013 stretches as far as the eye can see. A long trip, even cross-continent on a camel, seems like a dreamlike escape from reality. Overwhelming joy would be a lovely feeling to experience, but there's so much evil in the world and so many broken relationships in our lives that joy doesn't seem like a state of mind meant for us. I wonder what it was that made the wise men so overwhelmed with joy. If it was their aching feet or their homesick heart or some other force quite outside themselves. In Jane Austen's novel, Emma, the young heroine is satisfied with her unmarried life, contentedly spending her time matchmaking others. Throughout the novel, she's plagued by her brother-in-law, Mr. Knightley. His much more pleasant brother had married her sister. At the climax of the story, Emma has realized, by Mr. Knightley's absence, that she is desperately in love with him and must marry him. He returns from a trip, she thinks, to admit his love for her best friend. Her despair quickly turns to joy when he says that his trip to his brother's house in London had not been the comfort that it often was to him, that her sister had reminded him daily of his feelings for her, and that he'd returned to the country just to be near her again. He says, "I rushed back, anxious for your feelings. I came to be near you. I rode through the rain, but I would ride through much worse than that if I could only hear your voice telling me that I might at least have some chance to win you." Jesus went on a very long journey to arrive in Bethlehem. The Son of God was with God from the very beginning, even before time, as our gospel passage last week told us. After the creation of the world, after centuries of time passed, after God developed relationships with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses, he wooed the Hebrew people and showed his love for humanity by telling us how to follow his light and how to thrive in relationship with him. Finally, the Son of God came to earth as the most extraordinary act of love ever known. He ended up in Mary's womb, where he grew for 9 months. He got crowded in there and made the long, dangerous trek that we all do into this wide world. In response to the incredible odyssey that Jesus Christ took, the wise men thought the least they could do was to take a trip to see him for themselves. The light came to them, and they responded. They traversed the wilderness to witness the miracle of the greatest love the world has ever known. God himself coming just to be near us. Amen.